It's fucking good.
Now we're holding in Yerushalmi Yoma, page Yud Beis Ois Gimel. From Perek Shnei Seire, the sixth Perek of Yoma, so that Perek talks about the Surla, the two Seirim, and primarily it focuses on what we do with the Surla Zozel. So we have the Mishnah mentions that the guy who was taking it to the, was taking the Surla Zozel would take along, would have a strip of red wool, and he would divide it in half and tie half of it around the animal's head and tie the other half around a rock, and the idea is that, as the Yerushalmi explains, and as the Bavli explains in more detail, in case it didn't turn white, then at least everybody else shouldn't see it and be disappointed. So both the Yerushalmi over here and the Bavli over here talk about how things used to be, where when Yisraelos in the Tzonish HaMokim, then the strip of wool would turn from red to white. So now, on the other hand, the Gemara says, Tony, we learn in a Braisa, our boim shonad shlechora beis mikdash, during the last 40 years before the churban beis sheni, hoya nerma rovi kova, the western light of the menorah would go out. Now, like this, the Gemara mentions that in Shimon HaTzadik's times, it always stayed lit. After that, depending on the ruchniistic state of the Jewish people, it would stay lit all night, or it would go out. Here, during those last 40 years, the Eibishter was showing that the Churban is coming close, so therefore it would always go out, and they'd have to relight it every day. The Loshen Shel Zehoris Madim, and the strip of red wool would turn red. Now, it was already red, so one possibility is, of course, Madim could just mean that it remained red. Both HaKosev and Eitz Yosef explain, though, that the word Madian can also mean that not only it stayed red, but it became even more intensely red, an even more intense color than it had been before. The girdle shall shame Ola B'smoil. Another thing would be when things are good, when Yisrael Oysen Ratzon HaShamachim, then the girdle for Lashem would come up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand. During those last 40 years, it was always coming up in his left hand. And another thing, Vahoyu Nurlim Dalsa, this is all showing that the Eibishter is starting to treat them within a mode of Gvura, the left and red and all of that is associated with Gvura. Vahoyu Nurlim Dalsa Sahechel, another thing was they would lock the doors of the Hechel at night. We've learned previously that the doors of the Hechel were locked at night, and then they would open them, the Akoyan would go and unlock them every morning. So here they would lock the doors, and then they would wake up in the morning, and they would find them wide open. So like they're opening on their own. The Bavli, when it tells it, just says generically that the gates were opening. I don't think it mentions specifically the gate of the Hechel. And in fact, Josephus, the historian, mentions that some of the gates we're talking about, whether the Hechel or whether the other ones, these were large, heavy gates. We're talking about, in general, the Mishnayos and Middos tell us that most of the gates in the Beis Mikdash were 20 by 10 amos, and they weren't skinny either. They were thick doors. So he describes that it might take 20 people to open and close them, and here they're swinging open on their own. Omolei Rabbi Yechonan Zakkai, till Rabbi Yechonan Zakkai says to the gate, Hechel, Hechel, Loma Ata Mavhilenu, why are you scaring us? Yodun Anu Shesoif Cholechorev, yes, we know that you're destined to be destroyed, but you don't have to keep on showing it and scaring the Jewish people on an ongoing basis. Shenemar, and we know that because the other apostle expresses this point, that the Hechel is going to open on its own, as if, like to say, the enemies can come in. Shenemar, as the apostle says, Psach Levonin Delasecha, Levonin, open up your doors, V'seichal Esh Ba'arazecha, that fire will consume your cedars. So, in a simple sense, Levonin means the forest of Levonin in the north of Eretz Yisrael, what's nowadays Lebanon, more or less, but for one thing, a forest doesn't have doors. So therefore, so we understand, as we do in other places, Chazal understand that Levonin refers to the Beis Hamikdash, Shemal ben Avnei Seim Sher Yisrael, because it whitens and cleans up the Avedus of the Jewish people. So therefore, so the Navi is saying there's going to come a point when you're going to be opening up your doors, showing that soon fire is going to come and burn you down. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai is saying, we know that that's going to happen, but you don't have to be making a public spectacle of it. Bolo Perek Shvi, the seventh Perek of Yoma deals with, the first half of the Perek deals with the Kohen Gadol's Kriya on Yom Kippur. And then after that it talks about, in general, some of the details about the clothes of the Kohen Gadol versus the Kohen Hedyot, where, as we know, on Yom Kippur, for some of the Avodas, the Kohen Gadol would wear the four Big Day Lavan. So the Gemara says, "V'lomah b'vigdei lavan." Why on Yom Kippur is the Kohen Gadol specifically doing certain of the avodas, in particular the ones that involve going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the ones that are related to that, like the girdle on the two Seirim and so forth? Why is he doing them davka in Big Day Lavan and not Big Day Zahav like the rest of the avodah throughout the year? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Barba, Kishirus Shamayla, Kachshirus Shamata. The same way as the Malachim serve Hashem in Shemayim, the same way the Kohen Gadol is going to serve Hashem down here on earth. Malamayla, now up above, we find the Malachim are described. For example, Yechezkel described when he sees Malachim who are coming to destroy Yerushalayim, he sees V'ish Echad B'Serchan Lovush Badim. He sees among the Malachim, the various destructive Malachim that he sees over there, and he sees one Malach among them, which is Malach Gabriel, dressed in Badim, which is white linen. So therefore, to reflect that, the Kohen Gadol wears white also. So Aflamata, so the same way down here, Oksonis Bad Kodesh Yobash, the Kohen Gadol has to wear Oksonis and the rest of the Begodim, all made out of Bad, all made out of white linen. In fact, the Gemara mentions the point, like this you have, the Kohen Gadol wore Big Day Zahav the rest of the year, and of course for some of the Avodas on Yom Kippur itself, the Avnate that he wore throughout the year was also multicolored and was made of Tchelas, Vargaman, Selas, Shani, etc. The Avnate of the Kohen Hediot, the Gemara has a Machlokas, whether it was like the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol or whether it was pure linen. But the one that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, everybody agrees, was pure linen. So everything that he wore was exclusively linen, nothing else, and it was all white. Which also in Chassidus it talks about that, where white is the color of Chesed. In fact, it talks about there's a certain connection between linen and Gvura. But on the other hand, it's all white. So therefore, that represents that you have a degree of Chesed, Rav Chesed, it's called, like we have in the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim, that even transcends Gvura, and therefore the Gvura of linen is white, and the Kohen Gadol serves like that. Okay. Next, Mipnei Ma Kohen Gadol Meshamash B'Shmona Kelim. Why is it the rest of the year, and for that matter, doing some of the avodas of Yom Kippur? Why does the Kohen Gadol Davka wear 8 clothing? Rav Chananya Chavrin D'Rabbanan Omer. So Rav Chananya Chavrin D'Rabbanan literally means the colleague of the Chachamim. So in other words, because there was a Rav Chananya or Rav Chanina who was the Rosh Hashiva, so now there was another Rav Chananya or Rav Chanina. The names are kind of interchangeable. Who was a Chavu? He was a colleague of the other Chachamim. Anyway, he says, "Kenegad Amila Shila Shmona Yom." That corresponds to the zchus of Bris Mila, which is done on the eighth day. So corresponding to that, the Kohen Gadol would wear 8 clothing. And in fact, he needed the zchus of Bris Mila. There's a number of things that the Medrash mentions. There was a number of zchusim that the Kohen Gadol would go when he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's a number of zchusim that he has accompanying him, and one of them is the zchus of Bris Mila. When the Pasuk says, Bizvois Yavei Aaron, the Medrash mentions, there's a number of things in Jewish life that are called Zois. There's the Torah, there's Mila, there's a whole bunch of other things. The Torah, for example, Vani Zois Brisi Yosama Ma'ashem, Bris Mila Zois Brisi Asher Tishmeru, and so on and so forth. There's a whole catalog of things the Medrash mentions that he would go in with the schus of that. So Al Shem, as the Pasuk says, Bris Yehoise Ite, Achaim Vasholim, my Bris, which means including also the Bris of Bris Mila, was with him life and peace. So we see that the Kohen Gadol was accompanied when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim by the Schus of Bris Mila. And in particular, Eitz Yosef points out that the Malachim are likely to be jealous of him. Why is this guy so special that unlike everybody else, he gets to go l'fnai v'lefnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So he needs that schus, and therefore he has chayim, therefore he comes out of there alive, and he comes out b'sholem. So we see, therefore, that he's accompanied by the schus of Bris Mila, and therefore in token of that, he would wear 8 big dikorna. Okay. In fact, Eitz Yosef points out, now the Gemara, both the Yerushalmi here in Yuma and the Bavli in Zvachim goes into some detail how each one of the 8 Big De Kahuna is Mechaper for a different Aveira. The Mechnasayim for Arayas and the Ksonis for Shvichas Domim, I think, and so on and so on. I don't remember all of them, but so if I remember correctly, it's Shvichas Domim because we find by Yosef, by Yitpilosa, Kachonis Ladon. So I think it's Shvichas Domim, I don't remember. But whatever, each one of them, the Gemara finds, the Shalmi over here and the Bavli and Zvachim finds a connection between each of the Begodim and a particular Avera. So we know they're Mechaper. Nevertheless, Eitz Yosef brings from Korban Eder, one of the Mephoshim on the Yerushalmi, that the Gemara's question is, fine, we need 8 Begodim. Why don't we split them? The Kohen Hediot will wear 4 of them. The Kohen Gadol will wear the other 4. So between them, you'll have 8. Why does one person, the Kohen Gadol, have to wear all 8 of them? And so the answer is because that represents the Schus of Bris Mila. Okay. Next, Mipnei Ma Einem Shamash B'Vigdei Zahav. So why on Yom Kippur, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, why is he not wearing Vigdei Zahav? So, okay, we said there's a reason why he has to wear Bigdei Lavan, but why Davka? So fine, at some point during the Avodah, he should be wearing Bigdei Lavan. Why, when he goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim, should he not be wearing Bigdei Zahav? So one reason, if not Gaiva. Because of Gaiva, this way, and he's going to be wearing Bigdei Zahav, he's going to be feeling big about himself. And like this, he's coming to daven for his own and the Jewish people's chatoyim, so therefore it's not appropriate that he should be in a mental state of gaiva. Which he might have if he's wearing the big day zahav. Reb Simon, and Reb Simon gives a different reason. Al shum al shame al tisadu lifnei melech. Not a different reason, but really basically the same thing. Al shame al tisadu lifnei melech. As the pasuk says, don't adorn yourself in front of the king. So when you're in front of the king, when you're going lifnei v'lifnim into the kodesh kedoshim, you shouldn't be adorned with big day. You shouldn't be adorned with big day zahav. It's Yosef points out, it seems to basically be the same thing. The Medrash phrases it differently, and from there it seems more clearly that it's all one reason. That for him to be adorning himself with Bigdei Zahav would be a form of gaiva, and therefore he shouldn't do it. Amar Reb Levi, but Reb Levi gives a different reason. Al shum she'en kateger nasa saneger, because the accuser can't become the defender. Here you have, they made for themselves a god of gold, the eagle Azahav. Now he would be coming serving in Bigdei Zahav, so it would be, he'd be trying to take the gold itself, which is the Katego, which is an accuser against them, and trying to make it into a Sanego, into a defender, and you can't do that. The Bavli actually in Rosh Hashanah gives more detail about that, for the same reason also, for example, Tkiyas Shofar. So Tkiyas Shofar in the Beis Mikdash, they would put a little gold near the mouthpiece of the shofar. But other than that, they wouldn't plate the whole thing with gold, because again, even though the shofar takes place outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, nevertheless, it's considered like something of pinyin. The Gemara goes into details over there.
It was
near the mouthpiece. It can't be on the mouthpiece, because then you'd be blowing into the gold and read possible, but the Gemara mentions that they would put a little gold on it to adorn it, but not too much, because again, it's this problem of enkate. So the Gemara over there discusses in detail that really this whole problem of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger only applies to things that take place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Thus, for example, the fact is the Kohen Gadol does wear Bigdei Zahav for the rest of the Avodah outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's not a problem of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger, because we're talking about only Lefnai V'Lefnim. So fine, he's bringing in the blood of the par, and a par, after all, is the same species of an eagle, but after all, it's only the blood. He's not bringing in an actual par or eagle itself. And then the Gemara points out over there that Tkiyas Shofar is also similar to Pnim, and therefore in that sense, that's the Gemara gives that as a reason, as one of the reasons why we can't use a cow's horn for a shofar. Besides, the Mishnah mentions a reason, because a cow's horn is only called Keren, it's not called a shofar, but the Gemara makes another point over there, that's a point of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. You're going to ask, so what? Tkiyas Shofar takes place outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but it's considered as though it was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because we're blowing in honor of Hashem's kingship and the various other reasons why we blow shofar. Okay. So the Gemara goes on to talk about, again, the kaparas that are accomplished by the various Bigdei Kohuna. Again, each one of the Bigdei Kohuna, each one of the eight Bigdei Kohuna is mechaper for a different Aveda. So then the Gemara finishes off, Hahurig nefesh bishgoga lohoya le kapara. Person kills accidentally, then there's no kapara for him. None of these eight Bigdei Kohuna cover that. The nosnalei atorah kapara. Nevertheless, the Torah gives him a different kind of kapara, zumi sosesh or kohen gadol, namely when the kohen gadol passes away. Shenema, as we find in Parashas Maaseh, the Yoshaban, Moshe Kohen Gadol, that the Ritzeach the Shogeg has to stay in the Ir Miklot until the kohen gadol passes away. So now the point is, up until that point, he has to watch his back from the Goyal Adam, and if he leaves the Ir Miklat, then he's endangering his life. But now, once the Kohen Gadol passes away, then he's free to go, showing that his Aveda has been completely nescaper. So Hakosev mentions over here that various explanations, various Mephoshim give various explanations. What's the connection? Why should the Kohen Gadol's death be mechaper for the Ritzeach B'Shgoga? Rashi on the Pasuk mentions, taken from the Gemara in Marcus, that the reason is because the Kohen Gadol should have davened that such a thing shouldn't happen during his time in office, and therefore the fact that it did means that he's in a certain sense guilty. And then there were various other explanations that Mephoshin give, including one of them being, one interesting one being, the Kohen Gadol, after all, is the tzaddik, he's like the Rebbe of the Jewish people. When people see that he passes away, it makes the Goyal Adam think, you know what, Furt, after all, everybody lives a certain lifetime that the Eibush should decide, and then they die. So, therefore, that makes him feel, you know what, why should I be so angry at this guy who killed my relative that I should want to be going killing him and taking revenge for my relative's blood? First, after all, the Ibishta runs the world, and if it hadn't been for this, he would have died some other way as well. So that sort of calms him down. And there are various other reasons. There are various other reasons given. Kosev also points out in this connection, the Kohen Gadol is like the Neshama Klolis to the Jewish people. So when he passes away, then that accomplishes a kapara for every single year. And in this case, then it's mechaper for the Ritzeach B'Shrei. The Mishnah mentions, yeah, that the mothers of the Kohen Gadol would provide supply food and clothing to the Rotzchim in order that they shouldn't daven for their sons to die. Yeah, so they would supply them with food and with clothing, yeah, in order that they should daven that their child, the Kohen Gadol, should stay alive. Yeah. Yom Kippurim Perek Shmini, so the last Perek of Masechta Yoma talks about Yom Kippur as we observe it in all times and all places. It talks about the fast of Yom Kippur, and at the end of it, it talks about the Tshuva of Yom Kippur, and in particular then the Gemara, both the Yerushalmi over here and the Bavli, go into the details of what a person needs to do if he offended somebody else. We know, as the Mishnah says, that a person did something wrong against somebody else, in Yom Kippur Mechaper, Ad Sheyiratzeh Es Chaveiroi, so both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi go into some details about that. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Amar, Hadein dechota al chabre, if a person did something wrong to somebody else, Sorech lemei malei, sorches aloch. He has to go over to him and tell him, I did wrong to you. The in kablua, if the other guy is willing to accept that apology and be moichel, hotobos, then so much the better. The in loy, and if not, maisi b'nei nash, then the person who did wrong should bring other people in mafayas lekodamehen, and he should try to appease and ask mechila in front of them. The Bavli gives more details that he should bring a shura, a group of three people with him, and then try this up to three times and ask mechila. Hahu dichtiv, thus the Pasuk says, Yosher al Anoshim. The Pasuk says that he, Yosher, which can be from the Loshen, Yosher as in doing straight, to Yosher al Anoshim, meaning we darshan it, Yasa Shurash, the Pasuk goes, Yosher al Anoshim, the Yomer, and he should say, Chotosi, I've sinned, the Yosher Hevesi, and I've made crooked what should be straight, the Loy Shavali, and it wasn't worth it for me. So that means Yosher al Anoshim, we're explaining, Yasa Shurash al Anoshim, you should make a row of people, three people, the Yomer, and then he should say, as the pasuk continues, Chotosi, I've sinned against you, the Yosher Hevesi, and I've made crooked what should have been straight, but they shoveled thee, and it wasn't even worth it for me, so I'm asking you, Mechila. Im Osa Kain, now if a person, now Akosev points out over here in this connection, you often find that people figure to begin with, they should use a go-between, rather than going and asking Mechila in person, Lachatchila, they use a go-between. And Akosev says, based on the Gemara over here, it seems that's not the correct thing to do. The correct thing would really be that you should go to him yourself, only if the guy is not going to be receptive to it, then you get other people involved. Anyway, im osa kein, if he does that, Shmuel continues, if a person does that and asks mechila in that way, all of akosav oimer, then the posik continues, the very next posik in Iyev continues, poda nafshe me'avor b'shochas, he's redeemed himself from going into shochas, into gehenem, v'chayosoi, and his life, ba'orkiya, will be in the light. So in other words, the Pasuk is promising if he does that, Yosher al Anoshim is going to go gather together this group of people and ask Mechila in their presence and not be embarrassed to do that, then he deserves to have that the Eibishter will give him life and the Eibishter will spare him from Gehenem and so on and so forth. The in Mayis, now what happens if the person who he insulted meanwhile passed away? Then he has to go to the guy's caver and say to him over there, Sorchis aloch, I acted badly to you. The badly, when it brings this, brings that actually you have to bring 10 people to the caver over there. Omer Rav Yehuda, however, Rav Yehuda says, b'shar kol averus. Now that would apply if a person did anything, any of many other things that he did wrong to the other person. He cheated him out of money, or he said something insulting to him, or whatever. Alba b'moti shem ra'al chaveri. But if he put out a bad rumor about the other guy, ein la mechila elomis, then there's no forgiveness for him ever, because how is he going to undo? He slandered the other guy in public, and therefore, how is he going to be able to get mechila for that? In fact, actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings that actually, if a person is motzi shemra on somebody else, the person who was wronged is actually not even required al pi halacha to be moichel, because again, you know, his good name has been muddied, and how is it going to be cleaned up? But nevertheless, you know, a person can act lefnim meshuras hadin then also. Okay, Masechta Sukkah, Perek Lulavarava. So the fourth Perek of Sukkah talks about the way they would do the mitzvah of lulav and the processions around the mizbeach with the aravos every day of Sukkot. When we do Hoshinus now every day of Sukkot, then we're recreating that when we go around the bima holding our lulav and esrog, and then on Hoshana Rabbah when we beat the aravos. So now we have the Mishnah mentions the line that we say in Hoshinus, Aniva hu Hoshia na. Now there's different explanations what Aniva hu represents. Rashi in the Bavli mentions that Ani and Vahu are two names of Hashem, two of the there's three psukim back to back in Parshas Beshalach that each have 72 letters. They begin with the words Vayisa, Vayovay, and Vayet, respectively, before Kriyas Yamsuf. So Al Pi Kabbalah, each of them is 72 letters. You take the first pasuk going forward, the second pasuk with the letters in reverse order, the third one going forward, and you get from it 72 sets of three letters each. So those form different names of Hashem. In particular, if you look in Sefer Raziel HaMalach, it goes into some detail about each one of them, Al Pi Kabbalah. But anyway, it turns out two of the 72 are one of them is Ani, and the other one is Vahu, Vav. But also, the Yerushalmi mentions over here that also Ani Vahu means literally I and he. Meaning, in other words, that we're saying I, an individual Yid, and us Jewish people collectively, and Vahu and he, Hashem, we're both in Golos, and we both Hoshia Na, Hashem needs to save both of us. In fact, it's brought in that connection. You have two psukim that speak with both of those pronouns in connection with Golos. You have Yechezkel says Ani b'Seicha Goyla, and you have a pasuk by Yirmiyah Vahu also Bozikim, that he was bound up in chains. So we see that both Ani and Vahu both are in connection with Golos. So now the Yerushalmi points out, in other words, the idea is when we're saying Ani Vahu Hoshia Na represents that the Eibishter is in Golos with us, and he needs to be redeemed as well. So Dorash Rabbos Rungia, the pasuk says in Zechariah, "V'hoshia Hashem es ohla Yehuda barishayna." Hashem will save the tents of Yehuda at the beginning. So this is part of the psukim over there describing various stages of Mochamas Gog Magog. So here we had on the first day of Sukkot, we had the Haftarah from the last parak of Zechariah that discusses the final stages of that battle. So now you have Udiu Prokim of Zechariah discuss Udiu stages in it. So it mentions that the Eibishter is going to save the tents of Yehuda. So now the word Vahoshia, Vahi Voshak Sil, Fuller. So now we can read that word Vahoshia as if it said Vahi Vosha, he will be saved. Meaning, in other words, not just that the Eibishter is saving the Jewish people, he's, so to speak, saving himself from Golos together with us. And we have every day in Hoshinus, when we have in the paragraph, Koshaita Elim, we have a number of things like that, where it says Vayosha Hashem, and we darshin it said as if it said Vayivosha, that Hashem was saved. That not only I'll take you out, but I will be brought out of Golos with you. So here the Yerushalmi is mentioning a number of Doroshas like that as well. Worth mentioning, Derech Agav, by the way, the pasuk right before this one, Varshia Hashem es Ola Yehuda, is an interesting one to mention in and of itself. The pasuk before that mentions, that says that Hashem is going to make, Bayemahu, Hashem says, I'll make Aluf es Alufe Yehuda kikir esh ve'etzim. I'll make the leaders of Yehuda like a fire consuming all the wood. So Rashi explains over there what it is there's going to be stages of Melchamas Gog and Magog where there are Jews who are forced to fight on the side of the Goyim. They're the Alufei Yehuda. But nevertheless, they're going to be like a fire that consumes all the Goyim, meaning, in other words, that they're going to end up being rescued from that and not be destroyed together with the Goyim of Gog and Magog's army. So we say, actually, in the Hoshinus, on Hoshanah Rabba, when we have the seventh Hoshinah, the Laman Esan Anizra Balav Esh, we have the last line of it is, Laman Terldas Alufa Yehuda Tosim Techir Esh, Hashem, for the sake of the descendants of these leaders of Yehuda, whom you are going to make like a key like a flaming fire that's going to destroy the goyim around them, for their sake, Hoshina. Kind of me'inyan le'inyan ba'us le'inyan, but really, actually, it's all part of the same thing. You know, the end of Masechta Sukkah has the story of Miriam Bas Bilga. And you mention to any Lubavitcher Miriam Bas Bilga, he's immediately, of course, going to think of the famous Sichus in Tavshin Lamed Hay, where that ever talked about was Malamed Schus on her about to hear everybody until then has always learned what a chutzman yakeh she was, and what she did about the Mizdeach and everything, and here the Rebbe has Malamed Schus on her. So in a way, it's kind of very appropriate that Masechta Sukkah, which is, we hear Melchamas Gog and Magog is so closely associated with Sukkot that two of the haftaros of Sukkot have to do with it. It's all, you have that same kind of thing then. The Alufei Yehuda, here we're saying these Goyim who are on the face of it, on the side of the Goyim, nevertheless, they're the Kiyot Esh Ve'etzim, nevertheless, they're the one that Ibishta shows, after all, they're part of the Jewish people, and they get plucked out of there, and they go and destroy the Goyim around them, rather than being destroyed with them.
It's like the Jews now in Iran, for that matter, it's like the Jews who are sadly
have the ones who are protesting on the side of the Palestinians for it, you know, they should have rachmanos on them and then make them that they and show that they're the key or they should eat them and schlep them out of that. Anyway, continuing the Gemara. Drosha Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira says, here's another drosha in that connection, another one of these droshas about how Hashem, when He takes us out of Golos, is saved together with us as well. Pasuk says, Ki ata teitzi mikirya. The Navi says to the Jewish people, you're now going to go out of the city, meaning Yerushalayim. You're going to be exiled from Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban. V'shachant basadeh, and you're going to dwell in the field. Now, in the simple sense, it means, in other words, you're going to be living out in the field in the time of Golos. But what's the v'shachant? Dwelling suggests like you're living there on a long-term basis. So therefore, Rav Zeira Darshan says shchinosi basadek ziv. So we can read the word v'shachant as if it said shchinosi. You're going to go out of your shalayim into Golos, but my shchina is going to be in the field together there with you. So also, it's the idea, again, that golol above or golol edem, etc. They go into one, we go into one Golos after another, and always shchina iman. Hananya ben Achir Rav Yeshua, and here's another Jerusha, Hananya, the nephew of Rav Yeshua, gives a similar Jerusha, right there in the Aseret HaDibra, Sanoichi Hashem Alekecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Hutsa'ascha Ksiv, again, we can read it, that I was brought out with you. So again, the same idea, in other words, that here, you Jewish people were brought out of Golos Mitzrayim, and you should know I was brought out of there as well. So again, that goes with what we're saying in Hoshinus, and whenever we say go to the bubble, Shchina Imam, and so forth, and then when we go out of Golos, then the Shchina is going to be with us, is all related to these various drashas. In fact, Akosiv has a long thing over here discussing that you have this Golol Edom Shchinei Mahem, and then you have on top of that, there was the one time you could say, I mean, in certainness, we're still in Golos Edom now, but there's also, the point is, no matter where else, wherever Yid goes in Golos, the Eivishter is always with him, and when he comes out of that Golos, then the Eivishter is with him. So the Gemara continues in this connection, another Pasuk, that we can darshan in this way, but first a different way of darshaning. Toni v'shem Reb Shimon Elazar, avodis kechovim ovrei Yisrael b'yam. When the Jewish people crossed the Yamsuf, there was an avodah zara with them, namely Pesel Micha. my timer. Where do we see that in a pasuk? Because when David HaMelech is davening to Hashem and thanking Hashem for all the good that he did for the Jewish people all over throughout all the centuries, he says, "Mipnei amcha asher podisa lachom mitzrayim," that you made all the goyim fearful from your nation, that you redeemed yourself from Mitzrayim. Goyim velekov, the nations and their God. So in other words, David is saying, even though they had Pesel Micha with them, nevertheless, you still had Rachmanus on the Jewish people and took them out of Mitzrayim and took them across and then split the Yamsu for them and so to speak, were willing to tolerate that. But Omalei Rabbi Akiva, said to Rav Shimon Elazar, Chas v'Shalom, to explain the pasuk that way. She'im ata oimer kain, if you learn the pasuk that way, she'im oimer ata kain, nimtseisa oises a kodesh chol. The fact is, the word Elikov in that pasuk is referring to Hashem. So how are you instead turning it around and making it refer to Micha's idol? So what does the pasuk mean? That you redeemed yourself from Mitzrayim and goyim velikov, kavyochol, kilo asmachol padisa, means Rabbi Akiva says, like the other drushes, kavyochol, it's as if you redeemed yourself. So goyim velikov means you redeemed the nations of the Jewish people, because each shevet, in a sense, is called goy, goyu kal goyim yamineka, velikov, together with their God, with the one Hashem, who was in Golos with them, and you redeemed yourself from that as well. Continues the Gemara, and so the Gemara continues in this connection. The next piece is actually taken from a Gemara from a Yerushalmi elsewhere in Megillah and in Moed Katan, but it's sort of a continuation with this of how closely the Eibishter joins himself together with the Jewish people. Rabbi Rechia, Rabbi Chelboi, Ula Bira, Rabbi Eliezer, B'Shem Rabbi Chanina. This is again in the Bavli. You would have a whole bunch of Omars in there. Omar Rabbi Rechia, Omar Rabbi Chelboi, Omar Ula, etc. In the Yerushalmi, it often just shortens it and just gives the names without all the Omars in between. Anyway, Osed Hakadosh Baruch Hu LaHe'osis Roish Chula LaTzadikim LaOsed Lavoi. In the future, Hashem is going to be the head, meaning the center of a circle dance for the Tzadikim LaOsed Lavoi. Matam, where do we see a pasuk that expresses that? As the pasuk says, Shisu libchem l'cheila, set your hearts for cheila. So the simple meaning of l'cheila means for the strength and the power of Yerushalayim, the whole kapitel on the face of it, kapitel memches, which we have as Shir Shoyim from Monday, on the face of it is all talking about the power and the strength of that the Eibishter gives to the city of Yerushalayim. And then it finishes off, Shisu libchem l'cheila. So in the simple sense, it means put your heart, set your minds on cheila, on the strength and the walls of Yerushalayim. But here we're doushing l'cheila instead l'choilaksev. It means, in other words, like a mocho, like a circle dance. So put your hearts and realize that there's going to be that dance where Hashem, where we're all going to be dancing around Hashem. Eitz Yosef points out, you know, that's why the fact is we can't, no matter what, as high as the tzaddik goes, he still can't see the Eibishter himself. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't liyirani or the machoy. Therefore, that's why the pasuk specifically says shisu libchem l'chela. You're gonna focus your hearts, meaning your minds, on chela, on that dance, and on the maravetz voi v'omazeh. You're still not gonna see it with your eyes. But oimrim, and they're going to say, as the next pasuk continues at the end of that kapitel, ki zeh elikim elikenu oilam vod, this is Hashem, our God, forever and ever, hu yinagenu almus, he will lead us almus. Now, what does almus mean? So it has a couple of meanings. Almus means ba'alimus. It means, first of all, with strength, that Hashem will be leading us with strength, or Eitz Yosef says another meaning of Baldimus would be Meloshin Behelim Behester. Because after all, again, there's going to be some aspect of it, of course, that's still going to be concealed from us. It can also mean, though, that the Eibishter will protect us, like Kitz Beneni Vesukai. So that's one meaning. Another one, almus means bizrizus, means quickly and eagerly, kadein ulemta, like a young man. So in other words, the Eibishter will be leading us around quickly, like the way that children or young people have a lot of energy. And also, Tirgim Akila Sager, in addition, Akila Sager translated, Akilas, he's mentioned in various Midrashim. Some say there's been a lot of ink spilled, actually, whether he's identical with Unkelos. The Unkelos, Akilos, the names are somewhat similar, so there's been a lot of ink spilled whether they're the same person or not. Either way, what we do know is that this Akilas produced a new translation of the Torah into Greek. Now, in his times, you already had the Targum HaShivim that had been done a couple of hundred years earlier, but by that time there were mistakes in it and various other things. So Achillas produced a new translation into Greek under, and the Gemara mentions when Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua saw it, they praised it very highly. So they said it's a very accurate translation. And in later times, Jews stopped using the Greek language very much, so therefore very little of that translation is left. Yeah, they found fragments of manuscripts of it, and you have various places in Gemaras and Midrashim where it quotes an individual word here and there from it. Anyway, so he translated the word almus at the end of this capital. He translated it asnisa'a, which comes from a Greek word that means beyond death. Ah is a the letter A is a Greek prefix meaning not, and snisa is a in Greek you have a word thanatos, which means death. So asnisa, however the word is supposed to be pronounced exactly, would mean something like deathless. So he translated almost meaning beyond death, olam she'en bo mavus. It'll be a world where there's no death. So we have three meanings, in other words, that when it says at the end of that capital, hu yinagenu almus, it has three meanings. It means with strength or with hiddenness. It means with vigor, like a young man, and it means beyond death, in a world beyond death. By the way, you have in other places in Tilim as well. You have Lamatzeach Almus Labain. Also, Mefoshim discuss over there whether the Almus over there is related at all to the Almus over here. You also have Lamatzeach Al Alamos Shir Capital Memvav. There's also discussion among Mefoshim whether the Alamos there is related at all to the Almus over here.
It's also another there.
What? So you have Capital Memvav begins Lamatzeach the Nekarach Al Alamos Shir. And you have a capital test begins I'm going to say al muslabein. So you have a similar wording in a few different places in Tilim and Mefarshim discuss whether it has a similar meaning to what we're saying over here. Anyway, but tzaddikim modern osebets, right? When they're going to be dancing around Hashem in a circle, and a circle particularly is used because a circle has no beginning and end, representing that neither does the Eidishter. So the tzaddikim are going to be pointing to Hashem with their finger, va'omrim, and they're going to be able to say, kizeh lekima lekenu olam vod, this is Hashem our God forever and ever, hu yinagenu almus, he will lead us almus, with all the different meanings that we just said that almus means, meaning hu yinagenu ba'olam hazeh, v'hu yinagenu la'asid lavay. Hashem will lead us in this world, and Hashem will lead us la'asid lavay as well. So that's almus. Akosiv discusses over here the famous question when we talk about olam haba and we talk about la'asid lavay, what exactly does those mean? What exactly do those mean? We know that you have the different definitions of olam haba. Does it refer to where every individual neshama goes after 120, or does it refer to the time after Mashiach comes, to some period after Mashiach comes, whether as the Rambam learns after Tchias HaMesim, or whether as the Rambam learns in a world of only neshamas after Tchias HaMesim, or as the Rambam Van Loons, and as the Alter Rebbe goes according to him in the Chutzot Torah, that it means the world after Tchias HaMesim, when we'll still be neshamas in bodies. So when we say over here la'asid lavay and when we're saying over here la'asid lavay and olam haba, then you have those different definitions of when exactly this is, when the sukkah dances, and when this marabetz boy va'omazeh is going to take place. Okay.
Finish the
fast. No, we still have Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola and Halacha. So Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola.
Thursday,
Yud Ches Tishrei. So here, beginning from yesterday's installment, actually, that I was talking about Simchas Beis HaSheva. During Sukkot, we find there's an extra lot of emphasis put on Simcha. You have in general every Yom Tov you have to have Simcha, and Sukkot particularly is called Zman Simchasenu. And then you have, in addition, you have the special simcha of Simchas Beis HaSheva, which after mine is sosen, me mine haYeshua, ad kedekach, that Chazal tell us that if you never saw Simchas Beis HaSheva, you never saw a real simcha. So nowadays, what do? We also make a Simchas Beis HaSheva, and in a way, it begins already from the beginning, from the first night of Sukkot, unlike the one in the Beis HaMikdash, which began only on the night of Chol HaMoed. So the Rebbe continues, then a person, Yid, can come and taina and say, how can you ask me to be happy by Simchas Beis HaSheva and to even increase it from night to night? We're in Golos. And the answer is the whole point of Golos is for v'chein yirmu, v'chein yifra. It's that we just like in Mitzrayim, we increase and we burst out and we become stronger. So that gives a person the ability to dance and to be happy in Simchas Beis HaSheva, and even to go and dance in the street. And the street doesn't interfere with Simchas Beis HaSheva, just the opposite. The street itself dances and it becomes a chassidish street. So then we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with another installment of it, where the Rebbe talks about the advantage of Simchas Beis HaSheva that we have nowadays, and how again it goes together with what we just learned now in the Gemara about that Hashem, and that we're going to dance around Hashem and Malabetz Boi Boi Mazer, where now we have a main of that during the Simchas Beis HaSheva when we dance around and around. All right. Halachas. So let's see if there's any relevant dinim of Sukkos that we haven't really covered. So you only make a leishiv basukkah only when you're eating achilas keva. So that would be when you're eating hamotzi or mezonos, so also arminag, also when you're making kiddush and havdalah. You first make whichever bracha it is on the food, and then you say leishiv basukkah. Everything else, whatever else you eat in the sukkah is patterned with that same leishiv basukkah until you eat a kriyus next time. In fact, if a person were to stay in the sukkah the whole time, he wouldn't even say a leishiv basukkah again. Even if he goes out just for a little while, but he plans to come right back in, then he wouldn't be a hesach hadas. So only, for example, if he goes out to business or to shul or whatever, and the Alter Rebbe adds, if he returns, let's say, an hour or two later, or he didn't plan earlier, it's similar in that sense, taking off your talus and having in mind whether you have in mind to put it back on afterwards. So if you're not gone for very long and you didn't plan to stay away, then you don't have a hesach hadas. Otherwise, it is, and you would make a new leishiv basukkah when you're eating something new. Then you also have a din. Suppose that in the middle of your sukkah, you go to somebody else's sukkah and you eat another shiur over there. Then you would also say a new leishiv basukkah over there. Now, see, usually you have when you go from one place to another, you'd have to make a new birkas hanen, and you have various dinim in that regard. But even let's say, for example, you see your original sukkah from the first one in such a way that you don't have to make a new birkas hanen. Nevertheless, because you're in a new sukkah, then you would still say a new leishiv basukkah about it.
Even though you still have to make another leishiv basukkah, and then
another din in that connection is if a person forgot leishiv basukkah and remembered in the middle of his meal or even after he finished eating, he would still have to make the bracha, because the sitting in the sukkah itself is a mitzvah, and therefore that warrants leishiv basukkah. So we don't actually say leishiv basukkah just for sitting in the sukkah, but if you're already nischayev in it for having eaten over there and you had forgotten, then you would say it even after your meal if necessary.
Sure.
Okay.